We gotta put people away. When we get them down, we put our foot in their throats and we put them away.
We gotta step on their throat and turn. That's what we gotta do.
Somebody gonna get hit in the mouth today, and it ain't gonna be me.
The Packers have played their four quarters. Now, it's time for the fifth quarter. Here are Matt and Rob with Gannett Media's Eric Baranchik.
It is time for the fifth quarter, brought to you by Title Town Brewing and Evergreen Power. You can count on them. Highway 41 and N, Little Chute, 28-21. The final. I want to start with the dagger play.
Oh, the dagger.
Starting at the end.
Gannett Media's Eric Baranchik in studio with us. Break down the dagger play, the Keyshawn Nixon interception that sealed the win on fourth and one.
First of all, you know, anyone who thinks that Ben Johnson is a fluke or what, that man, they come up with some really good schemes on offense. On that play, you know, they lined up. They had two tight ends in the ball game, had it all lined up, looking for sure this is a run play, right? And they ran this same play against Philadelphia the week earlier to get a touchdown to Cole Kmet in the end zone in the corner. So the Packers are going to come line up in their run stuff defense. They got everybody up on the line of scrimmage, and they're in man coverage. And so they moved, they motioned Lovelace from the Packers' defensive side. They motioned him across, so that took McKinney with him. And at the snap of the ball, DJ Moore was on the far left side of their formation. He comes under the line of scrimmage. Presumably, he's going to get lost in traffic. Either way, they're in man coverage, and that was Keyshawn Nixon's guy. And Nixon, you know, certainly needed a play to make up for some of his previous malfeasances.
He had a rough first half.
For sure. For sure.
Right.
You know, and that's, we could get into that later, but that was a case of the second man getting caught.
Yeah.
Right? You know, he got the hand to the throat. But anyways, so what a heads-up play, because what they did was when Loveland went in motion across, then Evan Williams had to hunker down, and he had Kmet. But when they saw motion out there, so they ran the quarterback out there and play action to the running back, he saw quarterback and was staying out there, and was staying that way, not getting beat to the edge. Even though they had Cooper out there as well, who was manned up on the running back and would have brought him there. But if the quarterback hangs on to the football, that's probably at least a first down, right? So, you know, that's where Williams went.
Yeah, he flows with the quarterback.
And so as Nixon is following his guy through the line, you know, as he crosses through the line of scrimmage, he sees the tight end and just motors back there to get in front of that one. Amazing individual effort. And you know what? Evan Williams, I'm sure it's going to cost him a steak dinner to ever at Republic Chalk House or something after that play, because that saved the game. Otherwise, he would have been wide open in the end of the end zone. So that was a heads-up play. And, you know, the quarterback there, you know, he's got some his feet are amazing, and he gets him out of jams and slippery. We've seen him slip out of sacks. So I understand how that works. But, you know, when you vacate your guy and give up something, that's usually not good.
Yeah.
It worked out well for the Packers this time, but holy moly.
And thankfully, Nixon saw that unfolding and got there in time.
In fact, I've been, the entire time you've been talking about it, I've been watching the play over and over again, just hitting one arrow on my keyboard to just run it back. And I've noticed there's a precise moment where you can see he notices and pulls hard to the right.
Right.
Yeah, Nixon's like, wait a minute. Just, he instantaneously he reads it. It's really impressive.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, amazing, amazing individual effort to make that play and to save the game. And because otherwise that was six, and it's probably going in overtime if they don't go for it. I mean, my presumption is you would go for two after that, and then it would have been, you know, it'd be really cold out today. Right?
See, that would have been fascinating if they score there. What does Ben Johnson decide to do? Do you go for the tie, you play for OT, or do you try to go for the throat and get a two-point conversion?
I think the way they were playing, they would have went for two, I think.
Yeah.
That would be just icing on the cake. So this sets up 2 weeks from now in Chicago on Saturday night. that is going to be a wild game. Just like, I mean, you know, and I'm in the press box, so I'm supposed to be neutral and, you know, and all this stuff. And you're watching this unfold in front of you. I'm telling you, I was on the edge of my seat. I don't know how, like, anybody at home watching the game or in the stadium were not just electrified, because it was just an incredible game. First, it's Packer-Bears, right? The division's on the line, you know, at least at this point in the season, and it's just a scrum. You know, they get off to that quick start, and you're thinking, okay, it's over. Then, they kind of scored a little bit too quickly. And that poor defense couldn't get their breath and had to go run back out on the field again, you know. So, but it was very good. And, it sets it up for what's going to happen in the next time. The chess game is, for me, in the game of football, is so it gets me to watch the game, because what's going to happen next week? Are they going to run the same play, and then instead of booting out, they're going to boot the opposite direction, and hopefully they catch someone sleeping? You know, are they not going to blitz Love because they blitzed Love to – and it killed him.
Yeah, so it's the fifth quarter. Our special guest is Gannett Media's Eric Baranchek. I know that's your kind of stat of the game. Like, right. What happens when you blitz Jordan Love? He killed the Bears' defense yesterday they decided to bring extra pressure.
It was reminiscent of Aaron Rodgers. You know, that when Aaron Rodgers played, not making the comparison, I'm saying that when Aaron Rodgers played, the rule was you don't blitz the guy because he's going to kill you. And in this instance, the Bears decided their best option was going to be to blitz him. And recently, he hasn't been very good when he got blitzed. And but kudos to that offensive line to be able to withstand all of that. I mean, there was times they sent seven guys and they got six in there, and to block it, five offensive linemen and a running back, and they're taking care of business. I mean, it was impressive. But he was 9 of 15 for a 175 and two touchdowns. Oof. And the one that was really impressive was the 41-yarder, I thought, to Watson, because as you're watching the game, you can see him, they're communicating, right? You can't hear anything, but you can see him communicating with the hand motions and stuff, and they obviously changed that to a slant. Because there was one safety back there, and he slants behind the backers and gets that, you know, probably a big play, and ended up being a touchdown. And it was just impressive to watch the way the Packers offensive line were able to handle that blitz. But more importantly, that Love, you know, he's got that, you know, Michael Jordan had that awesome fadeaway, right? Charles Barkley.
Yes.
You know, guys that Jordan's fadeaway is right up there too. Being able to throw off his back foot accurately, which in the past, as we've watched him progress as a quarterback, has not been the same. You know, he'd throw off his back foot and it'd be a high rainbow picked off, or more often than not, it was inaccurately thrown. And now it is just dialed in. His the way that he's getting rid of the football and his accuracy is just incredible. Except for that one first. That one play in the first quarter,
that
it wasn't so accurate, but yeah. The rest of them were. Actually, he just didn't see the guy because it was thrown where it should have been, just the guy appeared out of nowhere, right?
It's interesting that you kind of say it's his fadeaway, because when I'm watching it, and he's it almost kind of looks like he's lollipopping the ball a little bit,
yes.
Like, oh
yes.
Man, that's going to get picked.
Right.
Why would you throw it like that? But lately, he's been in the zone with it where it's falling exactly where it needs to.
Exactly. And not too high and not floating it too much.
Yeah.
But floating it just enough. You know, so
And letting his guy run under it.
Correct.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
It drops right into his hands like a gift.
Oh, man. It's incredible. But the fact that they ran just enough. They were able to run the ball. And that touchdown run, I mean, I hate to say this, but I think, you know, poor Elgton Jenkins may have played his last game here. You know, he's a good guy, and he's been a great player for a long time, but he's going to be do a big boatload of money next year. And they got a guy in there right now that's playing really good, and they're able to run the football through the A-gaps, which is so important.
Yeah, it's the fifth quarter with our special guest, Gannett Media's Eric Baranchek. You brought up the running game. The Bears got their running game going in the second half. Didn't really have a lot of opportunities or didn't stick to it much in the first half. But when they got it going in the second half, it was very effective.
Yeah, those first down runs were killer.
Yeah.
To be second and five, second and three, second and four, that's tough. And it's hard to get off the field then when you're in second down and three. You know, it's probably, you're not getting off on that particular set. So we got to let them get their first down, hang on, and let's start it again. But the you know, they did, you know, the last week against the Eagles, they put up 281 yards.
Yeah.
So you knew they were going to throw the ball or run the ball, excuse me. And, you know, their offensive line for the Bears I can't think of how long it's been since the Bears had a decent offensive line. It's been a long time. But, boy, I tell you, that offensive line that they played last night was really, really good. But, I mean, the Packers' team speed on defense is what keeps them in ball games, and especially withstanding the run.
Yeah, and you're in 2 weeks, I imagine, maybe Ben Johnson gets that running game going maybe a little bit earlier and sticks to that maybe a little bit earlier. But then how does the Packers defense chess piece that and counteract it? Yeah, it's going to be fascinating in 2 weeks.
I agree. I mean, I think the loss of Wyatt there, you know, kind of true to form is he didn't. I think a lot of people thought it was going to be the run game, but it was the pass game where his absence was known because he was unable the Packers were really unable to close the pocket from the top down or from, you know, drive the center guard gap back. You know, and that's where it kind of, but then the Bears, because the first half was just a jailbreak constantly. So the Bears started rolling out the quarterback, and, you know, that's where Caleb Williams is dangerous. Standing in the pocket, he's so inaccurate, and, you know, and I think he's a big target back there, holds onto the ball forever. But I think when they get him running, that's where, you know, on either side, that's where he's dangerous, and Packers are going to have to find a way to shut that down early.
Yeah, especially if he's able to make those sidearm, odd angle bullet throws.
Oh,
and
man.
He also does like the, I don't think I've ever seen anybody do one of the passes he did. He like lobbed it underhand 2 yards.
Yeah, to his running back.
Behind the line of scrimmage.
Yeah. That was a design play. Yeah.
He was like bowling it almost. I've never seen him bowl a ball like that.
In fact, Tom Brady called it the bowling
Is
throw.
That what he said.
I don't think I ever did one of those in my career. But like, Tom, you barely rolled out of the pocket.
That's
in your
right.
Career.
He stood still. but the reality is, you know, that was great play designs. They did it several times. That's what you do against the fast defense that kind of over pursues once in a while. You get them coming upfield and then you throw it underneath them. Fortunately, the Packers were able to withstand that, and they stayed home primarily on the perimeter. So the cornerbacks, you saw Bullard make a big play over there where it could have gone a little ways. And, you know, there was some really good stuff on both sides of the ball for the Packers.
Yeah, it was a fun game. I think it lived up to the hype. Now, does this mean every time Packers-Bears play, it's going to be like this? Who knows? But
hopefully not. Hopefully, you know, it'd be much.
But for the first time in how long?
Right. Yes.
I mean, there's.
It mattered. It mattered.
Yes.
It really mattered. It did.
Yeah. I mean, it's great for the rivalry. And maybe the Bears have something here with Johnson and Williams. And you got LaFleur love, Johnson Williams.
Yeah.
Maybe moving forward. Who knows?
It's going to be neat. That's for sure. But man, what a game. I'm still abuzz about it because it was just to come down to the last play of the game. I mean, really, that was something. And to see two teams just, and there were some hard hits on both sides, but I mean, that Packer defense was coming up and laying the wood, and they were physical running the football. That was a football game. I mean, I can't say enough. I mean, it was an amazing football game.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. And when Tucker Kraft goes down, obviously that's a big piece of your offense that you are missing, and you can't replace that guy. But over the last 4 weeks, the offense is averaging 27.3 points.
Right.
I mean, they've figured out ways.
Well, Christian Watson.
Christian Watson is a big part of it.
Christian Watson.
Yeah, that's a major.
And now
piece.
It makes it even harder because
with Jaden Reed being back.
Now they got two playmakers on the perimeter that they got to deal with. You got to deal with a running attack, plus all the misdirection, and you got a quarterback that's about as hot as they can get.
Yeah.
You know, that's to face this football team right now with a defense that's coming hell bent to get you. Oof.
Yes,
it's a scary thing, and I you know they're peaking at the right time.
Right,
they're peaking at the right time, and that's kind of what you want, right?
December
best
football
in the NFC right now. Packers are. It's pretty good.
They first.
To be first in the North, though.
Yeah,
I mean,
hard division.
Now you got the Bears in 2 weeks. You can't look ahead. You got the Broncos, a tough team on the road.
11-2
with a defense that is nasty.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
That's going to be another.
Yep,
great game in Denver.
So look, I would imagine they're going to throw the ball up deep balls, that's where they're going to be able to get him. Because if he stands back, because I don't know if they're going to be able to run the football against Denver. I mean, not many people can. And they find a way to get to the quarterback. So it's really going to be an interesting ball game. And they got an up-and-coming quarterback who likes to run. And, you know, it's really difficult to defend a running quarterback, you know, because you got to deal with receivers, tight ends, running backs. And, oh, by the way, this guy's going to run the ball on you. Okay, fun. You know, so interesting. It'd be an interesting ball game.
But it's still Toyotathon, which means it's still Love-a-thon.
When does that end, by the way? Like in February, hopefully?
January.
Oh, no.
I think January 5th. March.
Oh, yeah, right. You got to talk to Toyota, maybe extend that out a couple more
But
weeks.
You get the rest of the regular season. I mean, yeah, right. You're good to go.
That's helpful. It will be helpful.
Yeah, but Denver falls smack dab in Love-a-thon.
Perfect.
Maybe he has another fantastic game.
What are his stats now? I think I saw something. He's like 36 touchdowns and 2 interceptions.
It's crazy.
It's a difference. I mean, it is actually a difference.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
It's Love-a-thon, man.
Someone's got to get a hold of Toyota and extend that till the middle of February.